Cape Talk.
Cape Talk. The Open Line.
Call 021-446-0567.
021-446-0567, 15 minutes to 12 o'clock. This is the open line where you can discuss whatever we've been discussing this morning. You can give us a call or you can actually start a new conversation on 021-446-0567 or on the WhatsApp line on 072-567-1567. Barry in Cales River, very good morning to you and welcome to Cape Talk. Your comment for us this morning.
Good morning, Zane. Man, Zane, I'd just like to bring to your attention, and I wanted to know whether there is other listeners also experience this. You know, I used to pay 500 Rand for my electricity on the 1st of November and up, and they gave me 304 units. Would you believe me, as a pensioner, on the 1st of December, I put another 500 in, and I only got 208 units, which means a 96 units being taken away from me. You know, a person are so down to see what Eskom is doing.
Barry, you know, who is a very good specialist on this, and I'll pose the question to him tomorrow, is, of course, Bruce Hong. Bruce knows these structures, both the City of Cape Town structures for electricity as well as the Eskom rates for electricity. It is disappointing, you know, that people are getting less for their money. And, as you said, you put in 500 Rand every month and you expect, and I don't know, do you still get the 50 units free, Barry?
Exactly. On the 1st of November, I got 25 units free, and that has also been taken away.
And your consumption during the course of the month hasn't gone up. You know, you haven't added extra to the 500, which pushes you into a kind of a different category. So if you're using more, you start paying more.
Of course, yeah. Mm. Of course, and that's what happened. I mean, exactly the same routine I have for the whole month. Put up my geyser, you know, those type of things.
Mm. Anybody have an answer for Barry? Why is he getting less in terms of his electricity as from the 1st of December? 021-446-0567 or on the WhatsApp line at 072-567-1567. Ray out in Manenberg. Good morning, Ray.
Hi, good morning, Zane. Long time no chat. Listen, man, I'm sitting with a huge problem. Actually, I need some legal advice and legal assistance here. I worked for a cab company for very many years, and they have just shut the doors in our face without informing us. We had to learn from the client that the company was closing. And this morning, when I spoke to the owner, you know, he was so up with me and so rude, used the most putrid words on me this morning. So I would like to know what my recourse is, because I mean, we were considered as employees based on the curfew permits that we got, you know, whilst in lockdown. So I'm sitting with this problem that I don't know which way to go. So I need anybody who can maybe assist me with this matter.
Just give us your terms of employment quickly, Ray, because I think that determines a lot, you know, whether you're employed on a full-time basis, whether UIF was deducted from your salary, whether you were getting a pension from your salary, or
was it just
JV from me and Agbatalio?
You see, yes, that's exactly. In this industry, it's the same like the minibus taxi industry a little bit. But I mean, we're a more sophisticated company, you know, and many clients depended on the service. So we used to work 24-hour shifts, you know, under the conditions of the company. And then we basically now started to work full-time daily. We didn't work night times anymore, but I work regularly every day, and this is what we got as the end result. They just
was there any contractual agreement between you and the owner?
No, you see, there was no contractual agreement, but it's just, you know, I've been working there for many years, and, you know, there was no contractual agreement, but I still worked under their conditions. you know, to comply with the air conditions and which we did.
Hmm. Anybody out there who has any advice or could probably take up this question from Ray in terms of the fact that he is a cab driver, he's also just been dumped by the company without notice. Ray, thank you so much for your call, and we hope that somebody will be able to sort of answer, you know, your question.
Can firearms not be destroyed prior to handing them in to the police authorities?
I think what happens actually is that you go to a gun shop, you remove the firing pin. Am I correct there, Walid? You remove the firing pin, and once you remove the firing pin, then that renders that particular firearm ineffective and unusable, and then you can actually hand it into the authority. I know there's a specific process that you can actually do, but your firearms dealer is the person who's probably the best suited there to give you advice on that.
Good morning, Cape Talk. I am not sure whether the DA understands exactly what it's doing by implementing and even proposing these kinds of laws. Yes, they say they want to protect land rights, but what they are doing, they are just drawing a very, very thick line on the sand between the haves and the have-nots, and it's going to end badly. They are quickly driving us towards some form of a dispute or a war over land. If people are owning land or are keeping land, regardless of how they acquired it, with no way of developing it, or they just want to speculate on it. Some of it, they even got it from the government for nothing. And now we must protect those kinds of people? No, sorry.
There we go. Yeah, that was our chat earlier on with Bushley in terms of we need to find a different solution for homelessness in and around the city of Cape Town. And that is some pending legislation which they are going to be appealing against. Dick out in Somerset West, you say, it is illegal for you to personally destroy a gun, and fire pins or the firing pins can be replaced. I was under the impression that that was the route to go. Dick?
Sure.
Yeah?
Hello.
Dick? Can you? Dick, good morning. I think we're battling to get through to Somerset West there. Dick, on the line for us. It's always good to hear Dick and his comments. 8 minutes to 12. Very good morning to you. Welcome to the show. I'm Zane Johnson in for Lester Kivitz. Caller is asking, my gun license is expiring. What do I do now? Do I renew it or hand it in, or wait for the new regulations to come in? Anybody who's got any insights on that can give us a call on 021-446-0567. Dick in Somerset West, good morning to you, Dick, and I hope we're on a better line.
Morning, Zane. Look, just before I start, let me tell you, I've noticed of late a lot of breaking up phone calls, not just on your show, but just about everywhere, you know? So I'm picking it up now. Are you hearing me?
Yes, I've got you. Oh,
yeah, okay.
Dick, thank you.
Look, what you said to the gentleman just now about firing pins, I regret this is not true. Firing pins can easily be replaced. As a gunsmith, I made many of them, in actual fact. But the point of the issue is that nobody except the police can destroy a firearm. You can hand it in, you can cancel the license, hand it to a dealer is the best thing to do, but basically you cannot, under any circumstances, destroy a firearm, and that is the answer.
Dick, thanks very much, and that's the long and the short of it all. Ibtisam out in the Wellington area. Ibtisam, a very good morning to you. You want to chat about the homelessness problem?
Yes, I'm just thinking that two of our big problems in Cape Town at the moment, homelessness and in the state of the trains, are actually a drug issue that's not being addressed, because it's the tick addicts that are destroying everything, and also a large proportion of homeless people also are either on drugs themselves or are escaping situations where people are on drugs. And I just think we need to address the root of the problem.
Mm. Ibtisam, thank you so much for your call. And Ibtisam says the homelessness issue, as well as the issue in terms of our trains, cables being stolen, etc., is actually a drug problem. I've spoken to many homeless people. They're really, really nice people. 0214460567 on the WhatsApp line on 0725671567. Here's another voice note.
The destruction of a weapon is a criminal and a penalty fine. When you hand your weapon in, it must be in working order so that they can do a forensic test to ensure that the weapon being handed in was not involved in any murders or crimes. Only once they've run this against the ballistic evidence archive will they destroy your weapon.
There we go. You cannot hand in a weapon and disable the weapon yourself. You need to hand it in, and then they do the test to find out, the ballistics test to find out whether your firearm has not been involved in any criminal activity. And of course, then the firearm is destroyed. That is the procedure there. 0214460567 and on the WhatsApp line at 0725671567. A very good morning to you and welcome to Cape Joke. Hi, Zane. How are we supposed to trust authorities when it's been proven that SAPs funnel guns to gangs? And that comes from Martin. I don't know. It is a very difficult, it's a very tricky situation that when you chat and when we discuss firearms, it's not just a one-size-fit-all solution to the problem. And when you live on the Cape Flats, your daily life is people getting shot and, people getting shot in crossfire, children getting shot, mothers and fathers getting shot in an innocent way in the Cape Flats with the gang violence that happens there. George in Constantia. George, a very good morning to you and welcome to Cape Talk.
Morning, Zane. Is it morning? Yeah, still. Okay. With regards to the gentleman who phoned in about his job that he lost, cab driver, I think. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. You have some advice or you have some insights into it?
Well, I still do. From my understanding of the law, labor laws, if he's received a salary consistently over a period of time, the company is then subject to the labor law anyway. So he could go to the CCMA and say, look, I received this each month, whether he has a contract or not. And they are legally bound to enforce that.
Yeah. Thank you so much, George in Constantia. George says, in answer to Ray's question, is that if you've received a salary consistently, you are entitled to certain things. And I suppose the Labor Department would be your first bet. Enrique out in Belleville, good morning. And your comment on Cape Talk this morning, Enrique?
Other man, thanks for opening up the conversation on homelessness. I work for an NGO called Mold Empower Serve. We assist in the sustainable rehabilitation of people working and living on the streets and women trapped in prostitution. My specific role in the NGO is that I am the house father, house manager of a restorative community environment. So my comment really is to say that there are sustainable solutions out there. I experience what I imagine a biological father to feel, where you see the incremental improvements of the gentleman every single day when I see them taking their own initiative to go and get a little business certificate here, an improvement in the working elements of their job, a little promotion here and there. And it is the greatest joy for me, as my heart is kindred in this way, to be able to see that. So I just wanted to, as an encouragement to people, there are sustainable solutions out there.
Thanks very much, Enrique, and maybe we could get you on to chat to us about that.